down my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness.
According to the multitude of thy mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity.
And cleanse me from my sin.
For I acknowledge my transgressions.
And my sin is ever before me.
Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight.
That thou mayest be justified when thou seest, and be clear when thou judgest.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity,
and in sin did my mother conceive me.
Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts,
and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to a witness.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me to hear joy and gladness,
that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Hide thy face from my sins,
and blot out all my iniquities.
Ready? Create in me a clean heart, O God,
Spirit within me.
Cast me not away from thy presence,
and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation,
and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Then will I teach transgressors thy ways,
and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O thou God of my salvation,
and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness.
O Lord, open thou my lips,
and my mouth shall show forth thy praise.
For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it.
Thou delightest not in burnt offerings.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion.
Build about the walls of Jerusalem.
Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings, and with whole burnt offerings.
Then shall they offer blood upon thy altar.
And please be seated. The first reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 to 31. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom knew not God, it pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believed. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not mighty noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to be confounded to the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of this world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and all things which are not, to bring to naught nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So far. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 10, verses 32 to 42. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I came to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set man at variance against his father, daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth the prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. And he that receiveth the righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive the righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So far. We continue with hymn 149. Please be seated.
Thank you.
God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme this evening is a call to repentance. And it's based upon a short few verses from Isaiah chapter 53, which I will read. And he shall grow before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So far, please be seated. It's during the season of Lent that we devote our attention to our Savior's suffering. The focal point, as in all Christian preaching, is to the cross, to our Savior, to remind us that the eternal blessings which we have come to us because Christ died for us. All through the year we have spoken of Christ the Crucified. He has been our every present guide. He has been our counselor, our comforter, our helper, our rock. But above all, he is our Lord and he is our Savior. During the season of Lent, we follow the custom of the Christian Church as it has come down to us through the centuries, and we dwell more than ever on the sufferings of Christ. Jesus himself marks our course for the season of Lent. He marks it when he says, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son shall be accomplished. He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. He shall be mocked and spitefully entreated. He will be spit on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. But the third day he shall rise again." We too must go to Jerusalem, there to behold what God and man laid upon Christ to make him the all-sufficient Savior from hell and eternal damnation. Having seen the joys of his birth at Christmas, let's also behold him in his suffering and in his shame. Let's go to Calvary and learn again what the suffering Savior has to say to us. And let us hear once again the call of the cross, the call of repentance. We must behold the figure upon that cross. It was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And those who witnessed his crucifixion had hid their faces from them after they had taken a hurried look at his tortured body. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was crucified with thieves. The curse of God was upon him. And it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Yes, God cursed, rested upon him. God had nailed him to that cross. The crucifixion, as far as God was concerned, was a fulfilling of a curse. But let's pause for a moment and let's consider the reason for that curse. Why did God have to punish? Well, Scripture gives us the answer when it tells us that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death came into this world because of sin. There is no other cause for death. Christ's crucifixion paints a gruesome picture of our sins. Sin is such a terrible monster that God must punish Christ with the very pains of hell because of sin. Yet, had Christ sinned? Was he guilty? Did he deserve this punishment of God? Well, if you ask the Jews, they'll probably say yes. The Jews actually considered Christ worthy of death. They looked upon the crucifixion as a punishment sent by God. Listen again to the cry of the priests. They were in earnest when they said, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die. Because he made himself the Son of God, he has to die." Blasphemy. Blasphemy was a charge brought against Christ. And blasphemy was punishable by death. Jesus was guilty in their sight. The Jews courageously killed Christ in ignorance, as we learn from the sermon delivered to the Jews by the Apostle Peter. Had they believed that Christ was the Son of God, they would not have raised their voices against him. God the Father knew that his Son Christ had no sin. He knew him to be his innocent Son, yet he made him to be sin for us. Jesus Christ took the place of the world while hanging on that cross. His crucifixion was God's way of punishing for the sins of the entire world. By nailing Christ to that cross, God as much as said, "You seem to think very little of sin, but I, your holy God, has forced my love to crucify my beloved Son that I might shield you from the eternal damnation and the suffering of sin, which you deserve because of your sins. See in that cross the seriousness of your sins." But we must also see the reality of our sinfulness. If you notice in our sermon text, the word sin is not even used. Isaiah is inspired to use words to describe sin in a more realistic way. The word sin is vague. It often leaves us so untouched. But not so with our English word transgression, rebellion against God. In other words, we are to think of our sins as a revolt, a revelation. God demands obedience, and we rebel. Isaiah also uses the word iniquity, which is a deliberate departure from that which is right. These words show the realistic and the reality of sin. They rob it of its vagueness. There was nothing vague about the sins of those who crucified our Lord. Let us briefly review just a few of them. Back in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas, the former friend, approached Christ with a kiss, the sign of love, the sign of friendship, and he betrayed him to his enemies. There you see sin in all of its ugliness. And note well, this ugly form of sin has not died out even today. Judas is not Christ's only betrayer. We see the reality of sin in the court of the high priest, where Peter, whose faith was seldom shaken, cursed his master. And with an oath, he affirmed, "I do not even know this man." In Pilate's court, Barabbas was placed by Christ's side. He had previously been convicted and sentenced to death on the charge of murder and insurrection. But we too must admit that we, you and I, helped nail our Savior to that cross. Your sins and my sins were also the cause of his death. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. May the cross of Christ remind us of this fact, and may it hold before our eyes in such large letters that we cannot erase them from our memory. And that's the word sinner. That's what we are. You and I are sinners. See in that cross the reality of our sins. So what shall we do with our sins? Shall we ignore it? Make light of it? Absolutely not. We can, while standing in the shadow of the cross, say that sin is not a grievous thing. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. May the cross of Christ remind us of this, that we cannot evade or erase from our memory the word sinner. You and I are sinners. See in the cross the reality of our sins. So what shall we do with that sin? Shall we ignore it or make light of it? Can we, standing in the shadow of that cross, say that sin is not a grievous thing? Would God have offered up his own son if sin meant little or nothing to him? Christ wants us to realize our sinfulness, but he also wants us to see in him the end of our sins. He is our Savior from sin. He took our sins upon himself. He took our place and was punished for us. Let us all hear Christ's prayer, praying from that cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Thank Christ for having earned forgiveness for us with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this evening and extend itself into the joys of eternal life heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Absolution, which is found on page 16 of the hymnal, if you care to look. The Confession of Sins. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely remember them, and I pray thee of the fountain of mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent bitter suffering and death, of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful me.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which you were betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated.
Take, drink, true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed the remission of your sins. Take, drink, true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, shed the remission of your sins.
true Lord, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,
shed
the remission of your sins.
Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
to death, and the forgiveness of our sin. Take and drink. This is the true body of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body of blood strengthen, preserve you, keep you in the one true faith, and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.